We're just one episode away from the season finale of Claws, but first we got to get to episode 9 entitled Ambrosia. So much has happened, so let's get to it. Talk a little dancing is dancing is exactly how you should dance to this song. Exactly. Yo, what's up? Welcome to the BHL Claws After Show. We got, you know, the usual family, me and Khalil. We got an extra special guest with us. It's Carissa Blake. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we have a juicy episode for talk, so I'm glad we got another opinion in the house. She's already got good opinions. We were talking earlier. But first of all, thanks for joining us once again, guys. I'm excited to talk about episode 9. We got one more episode to go, but episode 9 was popping. Before we get into that, Khalil, while you're dancing, would you like to let them know where they can find you on social media?
Yo, holla at me on Twitter and Instagram, at Khalil Boo Boo.
Come on with those 1996 dance moves. I like it.
You got to top that. That was a hell of an intro.
Right, she's there. The newbie, but she got to do something. Come on.
It's okay to feel uncomfortable.
Is it? I got my nails done. Extra special for you guys.
There we go.
Also, I just got engaged, so I had to get like these ring fingers fancy.
Somehow you topped his intro.
I'm getting my ring on Tuesday, and I'm like so excited.
That's how you top.
That's how you top. That's how you get engaged.
I'm upgrading from baby mama to fiance.
Oh, my God. She got bars. Hey. Money ain't a thing. But what can they find you on social media?
You can find me everywhere online at Carissa Blades.
Excellent. There we go. Short and simple. And once again, I'm D'Angelo. Hit me up on Twitter at D'Angelo TV and at D'Angelo on Instagram. Money is a thing in this episode. It's been a
money's
thing
everything
the entire season. But shout out to Jay-Z and Jermaine Dupri. I'm always happy to get a Jay-Z song incorporated on the show. But man, what an episode we had. Before we get into it, I just got to shout out Polly, yo. Get you a friend like Polly,
yeah,
to pay attention to details like that. Ambrosia salad, which I didn't know what that was until today.
You're that key word, baby.
She's like, something's off. You know what I mean? So you have a Polly, you have Virginia, and Virginia was like, oh yeah, she's cool. Like, get you a friend like Polly. She stood out. How'd you guys feel about her just paying attention to that details like that?
I mean, that's what she's here for,
right?
She's here for that. Like, that's what she's that she's that friend out the group.
She's a very neurotic character. And you guys were, like, talking about on the show last time, like, every situation she's in, she has, like, a different freaking personality. And it was so crazy to see her when she's, like, that meticulous. Because when we see her in the episode getting, like, hauled away, she's having a complete and utter breakdown. And I was like, I don't think she's going to survive.
But as far as her character, it still all fits, which is an amazing part and a due to the writers who created her. She is...
It's multi-dimensional for sure.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's true. Her character dynamic, that's a good point. She takes on a lot of personalities with the whole identity theft thing, but it all kind of still fits under the umbrella of like Polly. But she changes a lot. So shout out to her as well as an actress to be able to deliver those things, because it's very believable. But she was put in a tough situation with figuring out those details, but also Quiet Anne was put in a really tough situation with her true love she finally found, right? And, you know, she's like the quiet person, so it's hard for her to get someone to connect with.
That monologue she did about these are the reasons I love this girl was so touching. I'm just like, oh my God, this is what happens when you give someone who's such a strong actress like that.
Judy Reyes, shout out to her. Off
you're
of Scrubs.
Just like, ugh. Yeah, I know, but it's crazy. It's like, oh, she was great on Scrubs, but you can
Scrubs.
See in this... Yeah. In this show, when they give her a little bit of something, she's like, hey, watch me milk every freaking second of this. Like, yeah. I can milk every...
This is my opportunity.
Goes,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She.
That's a good point.
Like,
she did milk
like,
it.
Excuse me. I'm bring out every little thing in this. And I was just like, oh, now I actually don't want them to break. Like, I didn't really care about the relationship. And then she did that monologue. And she's like, I was honest. She knows what I did in prison. She doesn't judge me.
That's a good point.
Get you somebody like that.
That's a good point. I don't think I had, like, at first I was like, oh, why is she tripping over this girl? Until she gave that monologue. I was like, oh, all right. This is real.
That's love, bro.
If you guys were put in that situation where you had to pretty much your family and your significant other that you actually love, you know, this would be easy for you. Like, what decision do you think you would make?
You
and specifically
this
in this decision.
Well,
she's engaged, so she has someone she really loves.
Well,
I mean, if you do too, you know.
Yeah. It's like, I think if I was in, like, Quiet Anne's situation, I would tell the other person what was going on and just pray that they would squash the investigation.
You're talking about... Oh, okay. She's
tried
that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I just...
Yeah.
I think I would just, like, go on bended knee and be like, look, either I'm going to take the fall for this or you're going to help me cover it up.
Real talk. I mean,
I don't know.
The thing that after is, like, obviously she decided to be loyal to the family, which was great. But, like, she's going to have so much animosity towards them, like, forever.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Because we're all made for relationships. So it's like, that's what a situation to be in. It sucked, I think, a lot.
Tough shit.
What would you do, Khalil?
Tough shit.
Yeah, what would you do?
I'd probably be lost for a little bit, but I do like your solution as far as like, all right, well, if you're going to take him down, I'm going to be collateral damage. So I don't know if I would, I'm sure it would come to a point where you have to talk to your love interest to let them know like, hey, you're getting closer on this. This affects me too. You shoot them. Yeah. You're gonna shoot me. So
yeah. There's a better, more subtle but direct way of handling it than as opposed to when she had to decide between the two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she's doing her job, and what they do is illegal. So it's kind of hard to tell a police officer to not do your job.
That's true.
Yeah, but that situation was tough, and I felt it for her when she went in the room and like started screaming.
I thought it was funny, like when she opened that binder. Like, I kind of thought when she opened that and you just saw the spider web, and then it's like Niecy Nash's face is just like highlighted. I was just like, that looks like a 6-year-old made that. Like, that doesn't look like very detailed detective work. She was just like, I'm going to put a gold star next to her. She did it.
Fair. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what police binders look like, but
I don't either.
It was elementary looking in my head.
That looks like how I would make a police binder, so it just like didn't seem right to me is all I'm saying.
Fair. That's actually a good analysis. I think that's interesting. Something else, well, obviously a lot happened in the show, but how did you guys feel about the flashbacks they did? That was something new that they incorporated with the show to kind of show Desmond and Rolla's relationship and a lot of other relationships. How did you feel about the incorporation with that?
It was good. It was good to finally get some history on their relationship. I appreciate the back and forth because it just it gave you more gravity to the situation as we progressed on, I'm about to kill her. As we progressed on Rolla saying, I'm about to kill her.
Yeah, the backstory is interesting because they have such a weird dynamic, and it's like he was cheating on her, but I think they were trying to do that to show that maybe at the end when she's telling him that she does love him and stuff, like maybe that's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their relationship is that's too complicated for me.
It is, there's a lot going on.
There's like so, I'm just like, do I want them together? I don't even know. How does she know if she wants to, like... Yeah.
Did the flashbacks make you have a softer heart towards Rolla, or, you know, did you...
No.
Yeah, no?
No.
What about you?
I would say no, except for that was so sweet with him fake killing the rat. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, in a weird
way. I know that was, like, a writer's device to do that, to make you like him, but he also does let her call her brother and talk... I mean, I don't know, I just...
It's complicated, like you said. It was just interesting seeing the parallel between the doctor and Rolla. Like, their first date was in a strip club. But I feel like for him, that was like, you know, that was a big deal. It shows a difference in styles. But it's also interesting that she even entertained it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It says a lot about Desmond.
That's true.
But I think...
Well, I also feel like since that was like their first date or whatever, and you saw... In the flashback, she's totally, it seems, just, like, not into him. Like, she starts entertaining it when they're drinking.
Yeah.
But he must have put in a lot of work to get from where he was to being there with her. Because at first she was like, nah, this isn't happening. Like, leave me alone, basically.
And it also made us as an audience, like, understand his hurt a little more. Because it's like, oh, he really, really liked you. And he went through all of this to be with you. And now you tried to kill him.
Yeah, but that ignores the fact that he lied and never gave her money. Yeah. But
it's also
we saw
tried.
That explained. Yeah,
he tried, and like he really honestly did talk to him about it.
And I feel like that could have been easily fixed if he just explained that to her. Communication in relationships is imperative, guys.
Key.
Yeah,
come on,
it's key
to be like
major,
you know.
Key.
I really put my foot down with Clay, aka Uncle D.
Dad.
Yeah,
Uncle
I don't call him that. But if he just said that to her, I feel like she wouldn't have tried to kill him. You know what I mean? Like, they could have worked it. This whole show wouldn't have happened if they just communicated. Right?
Yeah.
No?
Something that I thought was weird with Roller, like another little like Easter egg that I thought, they kept doing these flashbacks with him and his outfits. I'm like, why is he wearing current Versace? Why is he wearing a dope shirt? Like, I need to know when that, like, they didn't.
How long ago?
Yeah, long ago? Like, you know how it always says it's like 3 years ago, 6 years ago, and I'm like, how long have they been laundering money?
That's why they did it. Well, yeah. I thought about that too, and I was like, okay, all she made was $7,000.
Yeah.
So maybe you haven't been doing it that long.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I've never sold drugs, but I would imagine it's a lot of money fast.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're distributing between several different businesses too, so she's definitely only seeing but so much compared to how much they're probably making.
$7,000 to be
exact. Yeah. So. That's interesting, but so we saw a new character.
You can work a regular day job and get $7,000.
So don't do drugs, guys. Don't sell drugs.
Basically.
There you go.
Basically.
Don't have a fake clinic to sell
money
drugs.
Laundering. Mm-hmm.
Money laundering.
Like, if I'm selling drugs, I want $7,000 in a week. Like,
yeah, it does need to be a lot more than I can make in a minimum wage job.
Exactly.
So, agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. So we saw a new character. We saw Ted, who's apparently the boss of Clay and Bryce and the whole ordeal. He was a character, to say the least. I'm kind of disappointed.
Namaste. I was just like, what?
I'm disappointed that was the first time we saw him, because I feel like that he could have added a whole different dynamic to the episode. Yeah. And he's gone quick. He's dead. Like, how did you guys feel about, one, the fact that we've never seen Clay scared of anyone? He was legitimately scared of him. Yeah. But how did you feel about that interaction in the strip club?
That whole scene was so friggin' weird.
I thought it was great.
Like, it was interesting for sure. But I even was like, wait, this is the first time we're meeting Ted, right? Because I was so like,
yeah.
I binged the entire show and I'm like, did I just block out this character? But it's like he was there and then he's not there anymore. Yeah. It was so weird.
I was thinking, I was like, is this the first time we've realized that this is a trans strip club? I didn't know that.
I don't think I knew that either. That's not shocking, though. He has his boy toy.
But the thing is, I thought the boy toy was just like a one-off character. Like, is that what you thought? Off, yeah, like I didn't.
I don't know. I didn't think about it. But like, it's believable since he was there, and maybe that's how they met.
I'm not saying it's not believable. I'm just saying like that just feels like a big thing that they
left
just
out,
kind of like brushed over.
I just everything that happened in that scene was like, oh, there's this big thing. Oh, Uncle Daddy's not the top dog. Oh, there's this guy.
Yeah,
he's spiritual. There's blood on this stick. He's obviously hurt people with the sharing stick. Everything that was going on in that whole scene, I was like, the dial was just like turned all the way up. All
right.
So y'all feel like it was almost too much.
Yeah,
and not too much, but it just wished that we could have. I personally wish it would have been more. Hmm. Like, because I just feel like we learned so much. It was like, well, let's investigate this. Wait a second.
Yeah.
You have a trans strip club? That's new. New to me. This other character, this Ted guy, like his sharing stick, like what else does he like to do? Like, I want to see him do some fucking yoga.
Yeah, like, yeah, like, really though. And for him to go out,
I just feel like they might bring his character back.
He's in a freezer now, though.
No, I know he's dead.
Well,
Roller came back from the dead. Hold on.
He was burnt alive. Yeah. Good point.
Roller ended up in a shed with a sculpture made out of pubes. Like, anything can happen on the show.
That's so true. That's
so but true. I just mean, since it's like they're doing these flashbacks, I feel like we're going to find out some more stuff about Ted and Uncle Daddy and what really happened with Roller and Bryce's dad. And I think that Ted character might come back.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just really weird. They should have... If he literally is in this one episode and dies, then they should have done a special guest star that's like a super famous person to play them, guy, so that it would be more believable that he's like the main kingpin who's dead and it's a huge deal.
Very good point. You want to see Idris come out or somebody?
What?
You want to see Idris come out?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, yes. I'd like to see him in everything for all time. I'm like, I don't know if he would do a little guesting on this show for like something so quick, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just like, so this guy, so Ted's
that's
Ted,
it.
Is, dead, Ted is dead.
And then the way he went out too, just like getting pushed with his back to them. I don't know. Like, it just, I don't know. Even his, you know, he's supposed to be crazy. And when he like, you know, acted out on Bryce, it was just kind of like, okay, I mean, yeah, he beat him with a bat, but like, I mean, with the stick, but I don't think that,
The sharing stick.
But like, I don't know. I feel like if he was going to be crazy, he should have did something more crazier than that.
Yeah, I don't feel like he pushed him to the point of fighting back to kill him.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But
like, if that's the actual kingpin and you're Bryce and Bryce is pretending he's El Chapo now, or who said that about him? They were like,
he thinks
he's El Chapo. But I was just like, yeah, he's sure he's going there. He's rolling down that road right now. Mm-hmm. But it seems like he would know his place enough to not fight back unless he was being... It just didn't look like he was taking that hard of a beating.
Yeah. I don't know. That was interesting, but I mean, obviously that's going to play a major role in what's going on in the next episode. But
and now Bryce has two bodies on him.
Two? Three? Oh,
three.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a top dog. He's a mafiasco, as Jin said. Speaking of Jin has, you know, she has her side hoe.
Yeah.
To the side, who's now been promoted to, I don't know, makeout buddy. How do you guys feel about that whole, just him in general, like that dynamic and the fact that they
made
out?
You're obviously a terrible wife if your plan when you're mad at your husband is to go talk to your single guy, your hot single friend. That's not cool. Why would she even go? And then she's like, oops, we kissed. I'm like, sometimes what happens.
Sometimes you need a comfort kiss, you know? You need that. It's like a comfort hug when you're distressed. Mm-hmm. You need that comfort kiss.
I mean, hey, you know, but my thing is, is it all Jin's fault? Like, really? Like, you guys, there's no onus on Bryce for not wanting to clean up his act.
For not being around, being emotionally unavailable.
Yes.
For that's not important. Attending to his wife's needs, and now she's forced to step out and find love elsewhere. Heard it all before, sir. Heard it all before.
Well, that, but also I just feel like her being like, you're using again. Like, her character made a lot more sense when she didn't want to move into that house. Like,
she didn't lose me with
she
that.
She caved with one school district. If you're a good parent, there are plenty of she's in a relationship. There are plenty of single mothers who raise great kids in shitty school districts. Like, she's just there's free parking on my block? Cool. Well, we can live in this house now and you can go work for Uncle. Like, I don't know. That whole, I needed her, like, one more episode or something for her to get there to liking nice things or something a little deeper just then, like, oh, we're in some great school district now. Okay, we live in the big house. Mm-hmm. Like, it just doesn't make sense with her character at all.
Interesting. I mean, so you're saying if she, like, you, someone who, like, I just grew up with my mom, and, like, you're financially struggling, someone's tangling in front of you, a really nice house, a really big house, and a lot of money.
Prior to this, though, I feel like you're doing all right.
I mean,
it seems like insinuated that all of them are.
I don't think he was the greatest
provider.
Like
bacon what bringer,
was it? Coach, but what does he call himself?
Yeah.
Like
that.
No, he uses his own stupid dialogue to call himself a life coach. Right. I forget what he said it was, but I mean, I thought he was making some money. I didn't think they were destitute. Basically, I thought they were doing okay.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is this is all Jin's fault. This has nothing to do with Bryce. Before we move on, I want to make sure that's what you're doing.
I don't
you
think
feel.
It's all her.
Because that's incredible if that's how y'all feel.
I'd at least say 98%. How about that?
98%? This man is killing. He is taking drugs, by the way. She has a feeling and he's doing it.
That is true.
And he's not not communicating, which we said is important.
All right, so, ladies, 93%. If your man starts killing people, then it's okay to cheat.
She hasn't cheated yet.
But then it might not be okay to cheat because he might kill you.
Oh, my goodness.
Think about that.
Well, look, you know, you guys have different relationship terms than I do. That's cool. Whatever works for you guys.
No, it's not 100% her fault, but I'm just saying she's going down. She has also crossed the line of things that are okay with her, and she broke too easily for me to just be...
For you to be so defending her.
And also you're like, he used this one time. Well, if he's an addict and sure she's suspicious, but I'm like, so you're going to go cheat on him the second you're... Like, she hasn't even sat down and talked to him and been like, don't do this. Let's talk. Like,
she has repeatedly.
Well, she just... No, that little quick little phone call with
over
him.
And over and over, she's like, over and over, she's been like, let's get back on the same page. Let's start over. Let's do our sobriety. Cute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's
cute.
Oh, she called him for dinner, excuse me, and he doesn't want to do dinner. You know what I mean? Like, this is a buildup. It's not like one thing. That's just how I feel. You guys can, again, you know, your relationship terms were different than mine.
You condone infidelity.
I'm not on her side, but I'm just saying it's not 98%
her. You know, I'm mad pro-choice, so you can do whatever you want to do. I know we won't be dating anytime soon.
Hey, that's good to know. Good to know.
So, do your thing. Whoever has to date him.
You know what, Jin? I got your back, all right?
You
got
to deal with.
Look, y'all can have a drug addict.
I do feel like I understand more now. Like Kevin Rankin being cast as Bryce. Like, it was so... in the beginning when I saw him, I was like, he's being cast as a life coach? Like, he played that, he played the super angry best friend in a wheelchair on Friday Night Lights, who was just like a dick. Like, he always plays a dick. You know what I mean? He's always mean to other people, pushing people's buttons, playing. And so when he was getting cast as this, like, life, I was like,
you're like, what?
I was like, why did they think of him for this? Like, that's.
Now we see.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, and now he's spiraling. Oh, okay. Now he is.
He's in his comfort zone.
Oh, he's doing uppers again? Oh, okay. And now I see his trajectory, I'm like, oh, okay, he is perfectly cast for this. But I just thought it was so weird at first. I was like, he doesn't seem very enlightened.
That's so funny. That's good, actually. I believe his character now more than I did maybe at first when he was like the nerdy kind of shy guy. But shout out to him and the writers for the character development. He's come along really well. Here's another thing I want to talk about. Desmond's last phone call with Dean.
Oh, so in the car. Sweet. So sweet. So sweet.
I mean, yeah, how do you guys feel about it? The fact that Dean wants to marry Virginia, for one.
I wrote down like a funny thing he said about...
I know you think she's this dirt skank.
Yeah, so funny.
No, but he also said she's on the autistic spectrum with how weird she is about food. Like, that's something he relates to her about. I was like,
she's a little special in his head.
Yeah, it's cute.
Hey. He's really smart. I mean, he's super intelligent.
We all deserve love. So he found it. I'm happy for him.
You got to make it work, man. Every relationship got to go
to he was going to bust some cheeks, too. So I knew that was coming.
He busted
And apparently he's putting it down. So I couldn't be more proud of my man.
You know.
Also, he really likes sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. As he should.
As he should.
As he
good
should.
Guy. Good guy.
Water's always warm, boys.
That's such a good... he's just such a good character and such a good... like, tether to reality for her.
Yeah.
Like, you do genuinely root for her, knowing his whole backstory and everything that they've been through together. Mm. I'm just like, yeah, going through the foster care system with somebody and her having to take care of somebody who isn't as able as she is. Mm. I mean, like, she's just been through a lot. And you could see why she would never have money if she is financially taking care of somebody who can't take care of themselves since such a young age. Just like thinking about how hard that would be is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, that whole last phone call was so sweet. And it was such a, that was like such a funny juxtaposition from the scene we saw before where she's just like, excuse me, I'm being held hostage. And the guy's just like, I don't care.
Yeah, and you're crazy. Like, that was crazy. That's.
I thought that was so funny. You're like, random. Oh, everybody knows them. They're
known. Yeah, they have a past.
They're just like, which they're known. It's they have the cops in the pocket.
It's interesting that to that point that Quiet Ann's love interest, what is her name?
Arlene.
Yeah.
Detective
that
Arlene.
She's not in the loop on that. And like, it like her... Her partner who works for Clint. Yeah, you know, how dare her. It's interesting that she didn't get the memo, or maybe she just doesn't care. I wonder what's going on for the whole police department except her.
To be in with it. Something else I thought that was funny about, like, because I think the clothes in this and everything add so much, like, to the ambiance. I think it's funny because they always try and make the lesbians wear more clothes.
Mm.
Like, did you see when Arlene was, like, in bed, she's wearing, like, what I would consider just, like, old, white grandparent out, like, t-shirt. I was just like, aren't they supposed to be in Florida? I was just like, why is she wearing that to bed?
That's actually
but
really
I'm just
true.
Like, oh, they're like, oh, they're both a little butch. And I'm just like, people who... They can still wear something sexy to bed, though. Yeah. Like, it can still be getting romantic up in there.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Like, she's killing it right now. Like,
it's a woman perspective.
For real. Them details, man.
I can't compete with that.
I'm just like, look, they made out in the bed. You know, it happened. Right. She was going to get some toys. She didn't see it.
We've all been there, man. Looks like a good morning to me.
I think in any other show, I would like Arlene's character. Right now, I don't because she's, like, complicating everything. And I don't want her to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But any other character, of course, you'd like to stand up.
Cop. Makes it spicy.
It does.
Very spicy.
Soap opera-esque. And finally, Roland. We got to talk about Roland. He's having relapses and thinking about, you know,
he's a loser.
Consistently raped. I think I forgot that he was burnt alive unsuccessfully. That sucks.
I did forget about that.
I'm thinking about that. I'm like, that was traumatizing.
Why does he have zero scars from being caught on fire, people? I'm like, you just look okay. You're like in a body bag. What
well, he got cleaned up when we first saw him with the lady that raped him. He was
that
a little
weirdo.
Beat up. Yeah, that girl. He was beat up
that'd
by her.
Rough.
I mean, cleaned up. Excuse me, by her.
Can't escape a rape, dog.
No,
can't. Can never escape.
Can't escape it. We discussed that agnostically.
Well, like when Desmond, when he's like tying her up and he has that little flashback and he starts barking at her and he's like, ruff,
ruff, ruff. That really made me laugh.
Yeah, I was just like, we like all looked at each other like, what?
What?
Like, what is happening here? Because they didn't show any like, did they?
No, no
tendencies. Rape stuff was happening. There was no like,
no,
that was dog stuff. So I was just like, what was that about? That was weird. Yeah, I was just like, oh. I don't like that.
I think there were better ways to exhibit that.
No, I felt it was real, though.
You felt
it?
I
was like, oh, he's going through it.
Yep. He is. I feel like for playing somebody who is like low rent, low class, like.
Low rent.
Yeah. Like, no, seriously. Yeah,
that second eight.
I feel like he is very. He's just good. Like, his crazy is great. Like, I just. Dean Norris playing like Uncle Daddy, just like this whole, I don't know if it's because of other roles he's played or what, but it's just like he doesn't seem real to me. Really? And I think that's my biggest complaint about this show is it's like Superman is only as super as Lex Luthor is bad.
Right.
And it's like, I just don't believe him. Like, I definitely believe the guy who plays Roller is that character is like white trash. Like, Dean Norris, I don't know what it is, but it's, like, that nail that he wear, that, he, and yeah. It's, like, it's supposed to give him,
Breaking
I'm, like,
Bad ruined
that
it for
wears
you.
Him.
Breaking Bad ruined it for you, that's what it was. You just saw him, Agent Slater, now he's a drug dealer, you're like, come
on.
He
can't get with it.
And it's not like, there are people who can play, like, a detective and play a cop and then play another character. I just don't believe him in this. I don't know why.
Yeah.
He seems like a rich person pretending he's poor instead of.
But today showed us where it like knocked him down.
He's on
a
totem pole, but so where? Yeah.
So I mean, did that change your view a little bit?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I said no.
No.
Well, she wasn't feeling Ted anyway, so you know she wasn't feeling that whole scene.
I know. I liked that scene a lot, but it took me out.
Yeah. There's some gaps, a little bit there.
Well, the whole rest of, they were doing really cool stuff, I think, with, like, intercutting people's relationships with the past, and then where they're at now, and then the past, and then back. And then all of a sudden that scene was in it, and I get why it was there. Obviously, it's going to pushes the whole plot forward.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now that the Russians are dead, is anyone going to retaliate against Uncle Daddy?
Right.
If Ted is, I mean, because Ted is the one who was like, can't do anything to the Russians, but...
Well, that's interesting. I think
there's
that,
like a power vortex now because Ted is dead and we don't know who's Ted's connections
are. The top dog, yeah. I think, well, that's interesting. I mean, they only killed two Russians and we haven't seen the woman yet. She seems like she's the top dog. So I think that just started a war.
Women are the future, bro.
I mean, they're present. But I think that's kind of that started that turmoil. But it brings me to my next question of who shot at Roller. Do you guys have that? And then also predictions for our season finale of episode 10.
This whole episode shot all my predictions out the fucking. I don't have any predictions. I don't know what's going to happen. It keeps twisting and turning in ways that I can't foresee.
Mm.
So,
but who shot at Roller? We have to. Let's get a guess.
It was the Russian dude. We knew that.
I think it's the Russian dude. What Russian dude? One of the ones that got killed.
One of the ones that
not
he shot.
Not the twins.
They're dead.
I think the twins are dead too. I don't.
Hmm. Well, maybe somebody else was in the car.
I don't know who I thought that was.
I thought it was one of the twins, but I guess not.
I don't know, but I did notice when Roller starts chasing after her after he shoots both of the Russians, he does like a sharp turn and grabs onto the car and goes like this with his hands. I'm like, why are you leaving your fingerprints all over these dead people's cars? I'm just like,
again.
She killed me with the details. Look.
No, I'm just like, excuse me. You are a very terrible murderer,
sir. You're being messy right now.
All those people who were complaining in the comments our first week, I want to hear some compliments tonight.
Yeah,
this one is killing it.
Hit her up on Twitter and Instagram. What was it? At Carissa Blades everywhere. So, cool. There you go.
So here's the thing. I think there's going to be a... I think we saw some foreshadowing happening. I think... Like, Niecy Nash is going to find out something about Roller's dad, something about Uncle Daddy, because it sounds like that whole...
It's a little messy.
Yeah, that their past is very messy. And oh, he just took me under his wing. I'm like, he killed your dad.
Probably. Yeah. And then when Bryce said to Uncle Clay that it was like a eye for eye. He like paused a little bit and was like, "Oh, yeah, that's a good point."
That yeah,
a
I was like, "Eye for an eye."
Juicy. That's a good. Woo, girl, that's a good one right there. I like that. I might steal that.
We're gonna end tonight. We're gonna end it on that.
I want to know who was shooting at him too. I'm trying to think. Like,
I know. I feel like it's gonna be a good one too. Like someone we should probably know. I don't think it's gonna be random. I think it's someone we.
But
I was
trying to go through. Yeah, I'm trying to go through. I'm like, who would know where they were?
I think if...
Ooh, it could be the detective. She's in jail.
Well, no, she got drugged.
No, the...
Oh, it could be him. That's on the that's on the board.
I said it right here.
Did Paulie figure it out, like, that quick enough to get someone there?
Yeah, but then, like, but, like, how... I thought of that, but I'm like, how would Paulie, like, GPS her to get... Like, how'd she end up at that random abandoned...
That quick?
Yeah. They keep trackers in the nails. That's how they keep...
Ooh, I like that.
No, I'm joking.
That was a detail that I forgot. It was that her fingernail fell off when they were on the dock.
Mm.
And the second he said that, I was like, oh, yeah, the fingernail. Because they never show that in a flashback or anything again. And they did make a huge deal of it when it happened.
Right.
But then when she the spider web and the binder, I was like, oh, yeah.
How do you know it's her fingernail? I mean, she does have creative designs on her fingernail. But fingernails, they don't carry DNA, do they?
Yeah.
They do.
But okay. You're right. But
then how would they know?
But she would have had to match it to her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But she had a reason to try to. Because she suspected
they don't have your DNA in the system unless you already have a prior offense.
Okay.
So they would have to go she would have to go in there and get swabbed for them to match the DNA to her or something.
Oh, okay. You learn something every day. There you go. So you gave me, you don't know who shot at Roller, and your prediction is that, I like your prediction, to foreshadow that Clay killed Roller and Bryce's father.
I definitely think he killed their father, or something very bad happened in the past that they're going to be able to hold over him.
Right. Oh, before we move on, all right, so before we close out, excuse me, Paulie and Dr. Ken, relationship, there's a lot going on. What's the keys for success here? He's super clingy. She's scared of commitment.
Dead in the water,
but the sex is good.
It's not happening.
Like he said, he's super thirsty.
Yeah, but he doesn't care. Maybe that's charming to her in a way.
No? It's weird. I think those two might be made for each other.
Crazy and crazy.
She's super crazy. Mm-hmm.
Stranger things have happened.
Agreed.
They definitely have. I don't know.
Yeah, there we go. All right, cool.
I don't think either of those two weirdos should be with somebody else. It's probably better that they're with each other.
That's a bar.
And I'm just like, if Virginia and Dean are going to end up together.
Agreed.
Can't everybody just be pairing off?
I know. She was already trying to break with him after he hit.
It's too.
I'm a tweeter.
Like,
I ain't going to at Carucci.
Who do you think you are? Is you too good for... No.
No, but I do think it's weird. In the reality of the show, mm-hmm. I think she should say yes. In real life, I'm like, that would be a totally irresponsible thing to do as an adult.
Yeah.
This person has no idea what the ramifications of marriage and a child and all of this stuff is.
Yeah.
You definitely shouldn't be marrying them after you had sex because he really likes it a bunch of times. You know what I mean? But in the life of the show, I do think I'm like, that could actually turn into being a really cool relationship.
Exactly.
It's cool that they incorporated in the show someone with a mental disability having a relationship, like a regular relationship. I thought that was like a cool idea that they did.
We all need love, bro.
Everybody.
Yeah. Everybody needs love, bro.
Well, look, I guess that recaps everything for episode 9. Thank you, first of all, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Great analysis, all right? Before we head out of here, guys, would you like to tell them where they can find you on social media?
Khalil Boo Boo on Twitter and Instagram at Khalil Boo Boo.
Nice.
At. That's so aggressive.
Gotta make sure they're paying attention.
Everything is just at Carissa Blades. You can come and find me. Chat it up with me. You know what I didn't do, which I normally am doing, is all my memes and stuff on the day of the show to like hype. I like to find the gifs from the show and stuff and put them on. I'll do that next week.
Yes.
I'll do that next week with our special guest that we'll have next week. I know.
Yes, look, guys, obviously, so many reasons to come to episode 10. One is that we'll have someone in the show here more than likely. I'm really excited about that for you guys. Carissa's here. I mean, she's great. Like, why wouldn't you enjoy hearing? Khalil's a consistent, like, he's like that guy that always shows up. You don't appreciate him until he's gone.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That sounded better in my head. I'm sorry. Khalil is the man. That's what I was trying to say, guys. Anyway, hit me up on Twitter at DeAngeloTV and at D'Angelo on Instagram. I've enjoyed you guys' company. Sounds like I'm closing out because I am. This is my last episode. They're going to hold it down for you guys next week with our special celebrity guests. But once again, thanks for joining us. Leave us reviews. Leave us comments. Blah, 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 blah. See you guys next week. Deuces.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire DHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.